The throb of machinery grew louder, and the rosy glow grew stronger. The machine still didn't sound right, but his ears told him these were in better shape than the ones above. And when he finally reached the bottom, he found the floor was dry. The new horizontal shaft was square, about 6 feet high, and sleeved with riveted stainless steel. It stretched away, for as far as Jake could see, in both directions, straight as a string. He knew instinctively, without even thinking about it, that this tunnel, which had to be at least 70 feet under Ludd, also followed the path of the beam. And somewhere up ahead, Jake was sure of this, although he couldn't have said why, the train they had come looking for lay directly above it. Narrow ventilation grills ran along the sides of the walls just below the shaft ceiling. It was from these that the clean, dry air was flowing. Moss dangled from some of them in blue-gray beards, but most were still clear. Below every other grill was a yellow arrow with a symbol that looked a bit like a lowercase T. The arrows pointed in the direction Jake and Gasher were heading. The rose-colored light was coming from glass tubes which ran along the ceiling of the shaft in parallel rows. Some, about one in every three, were dark, and others sputtered fitfully, but at least half of them were still working. Neon tubing, Jake thought, amazed. How about that? Gasher dropped down beside him. He saw Jake's expression of surprise and grinned.
Nice, isn't it? Cool in the summer, warm in the winter, and so much food that 500 men couldn't eat it in 500 years. And do you know the best part, Squint? The very best part of the whole koozie fakement?
Jake shook his head.
Farkin' pubies don't have the leastest idea the place even exists. They think there's monsters down here. Catch a pubie going within 20 feet of a sewer cap less than he has to.
He threw his head back and laughed heartily. Jake didn't join in, even though a cold voice in the back of his mind told him it might be politic to do so. He didn't join in because he knew exactly how the pubes felt. There were monsters under the city. Trolls and boggarts and orcs. Hadn't he been captured by just such a one? Gasher shoved him to the left.
Garn, almost there now. Up!
They jogged on, their footfalls chasing them in a pack of echoes. After 10 or 15 minutes of this, Jake saw a watertight hatchway about 200 yards ahead. As they drew closer, he could see a big valve wheel sticking out of it. A communicator box was mounted on the wall to the right.
I'm blown out, Gasher gasped as they reached the door at the end of the tunnel. Doings like this are too much for an invalid like your old pal, so they are.
He thumbed the button on the intercom and bawled,
I got him, Tick-Tock. Got him as dandy as please. Didn't even muss his hair. Didn't I tell you I would? Trust the Gasher man, I said, for he'll lead you straight and true. Now open up and let us in.
He let go of the button and looked impatiently at the door. The valve wheel didn't turn. Instead, a flat, drawling voice came out of the intercom speaker. What's a password? Gasher frowned horribly, scratched his chin with his long, dirty nails, then lifted his eye patch and swabbed out another clot of yellow-green goo.
Tick-tock and his passwords, he said to Jake.
He sounded worried as well as irritated.
He's a trig cove, but that's taking it a deal too far, if you ask me, so it is.
He pushed the button and yelled,
Come on, Tick-tock, if you don't recognize the sound of my voice, you need a hearing aid.
Oh, I recognize it. The drawling voice returned. To Jake, it sounded like Jerry Reed, who played Burt Reynolds' sidekick in Smokey and the Bandit. But I don't know who's with you, do I? Or have you forgotten that the camera out there went tits up last year? You give the password, Gasher, or you can rot out there. Gasher stuck a finger up his nose, extracted a chunk of snot the color of mint jelly, and squashed it into the grill of the speaker. Jake watched this childish display of ill temper in silent fascination, feeling unwelcome hysterical laughter bubbling around inside him. Had they come all this way through the booby-trapped mazes and lightless tunnels to be balked here at this watertight door simply because Gasher couldn't remember the TikTok man's password? Gasher looked at him balefully, then slid his hand across his skull, peeling off his sweat-soaked yellow scarf. The skull beneath was bald, except for a few straggling tufts of black hair like porcupine quills, and deeply dented above the left temple. Gasher peered into the scarf and plucked forth a scrap of paper.
"God's bless Hoots," he muttered. "Hoots takes care of me right proper, he does."